Everybody here tonight's got a King James Bible laying in your lap, I trust and pray. If you would, stay in reverence to reading God's Word. We'll try to read it responsibly, and for time's sake, I'm only going to read about four verses, but I want to preach just about the whole 53 verses in chapter number 1 in some way, shape, form, or fashion. The chips start to fall, and the heads start to roll. After chapter number 1, you'll see some things going on as I begin to preach this, and how that David is aged now. David has reigned and ruled, and Brother Chris opened the prayer tonight, and I didn't. He's ready to go because I come in at like 30 seconds after 7, and he was already 5 minutes into a 30-minute message. But anyway, he was talking about the rising up of David as being the shepherd boy that God had chosen to become the king that would then sit upon originally the throne of Saul, but then it'll be Christ that comes back. And he don't say come back to sit on the seat of Saul. He's come back to sit on the seat of David. He come back on the throne of David. But David's aged here in this passage of Scripture. And as he is an old man and an old king, his life is, he's on the twilight years of his life. He's starting to fade out, and he's about ready to change over from one king to another. And if you know the Word of God, you know then who rises up in his stead. There's a name by the name of Adonijah here that comes on the scene, and he sets himself up between Solomon and David. You've got another person that's rose up and decided that he himself is going to be the king. But let me tell you, God sets up kings and takes kings down. It's not for a man to promote himself into a kingship. It's not for a person to put themselves in the stead of a pastor of a church. And if you ever get that where somebody decides that they're going to usurp authority over that of the pastor and start undergirding or undermining him, be it a lay person or a deacon or anybody else, your church is getting ready to suffer on that account. I can promise you that. Well, Israel as a nation here was about ready to suffer under the hand of Adonijah. But and I'm not going to preach all of that tonight, but I want to show you this. Heads started to roll, and the chips started to fall pretty quick after Nathan goes and tells Adonijah through Abiathar the priest that Adonijah, that's not what God intended. God's got this thing in proper order, and it's going to be Solomon that'll sit upon his daddy's throne. It's not going to be you. But anyway, then Adonijah is soon executed, and then you keep going on, and then you see Shemaiah executed, and you see Joab killed. I'm telling you, God's a righteous judge. You say, there's a whole lot of killing in there. Take it up with God. God's got a rightful order and a rightful way to do things, and when man gets that out of the way, God's going to take care of business. We as a nation ought to know that. When we start doing things are abominable in the sight of God, he can remove us from our place. If this very church starts to do something that's not pleasant or pleasing in the sight of God, the Bible said in the latter book of the Revelation to each of the seven churches that he could very well remove our candlestick from its place. You say, what in the world is a candlestick from its place? He tells us the seven angels were the seven messengers to the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks were the seven churches. And he said, I can remove that candlestick. You say, is he going to knock the steeple off and change it? No, he's going to remove our influence in this untoward generation, and he can remove Calvary Baptist Church if we don't follow the precepts and what God hath ordained for us to be and what we're supposed to do right here on the side of the road. I got you standing on your feet. I'm going to preach a whole message and not even get to the scripture, but I'm going to read four verses. Let me tell you this, in chapter number 1, verse number 4, 3, 2, 3, and 4, there's nothing sexual between this young girl by the name of Abishag and the king. There's nothing there. She's a virgin. She's there for warmth. She's there not for pleasure. She's there for the king. And I'm going to tell you, it's almost indicative of how the Lord can take a chaste, pure virgin in the New Testament through the virgin by the name of Mary in birth unto us a king, and how that God uses a virgin here to provide warmth unto a king. But there's nothing, there's no sin here. Don't let your mind go there whenever he says, hey, bring me somebody in here. And they sought for a virgin to bring in the she might provide the king warmth. There's nothing like that. So don't even let your mind go there. Satan will be tricking you into thinking, what in the world is this carnal mess going on? It's not that. Don't let the devil use that. The devil's a liar. Amen? And he's the father of all lies, and he'll make us in our little minds. He'll take us, say, what kind of a concubine? What is this going on? Don't let it go. Don't let your mind go there, because it's not about that. It's about taking care of the king. And David was God's man. Is that right, Brother Chris? Verse number 1 of 1 Kings chapter number 1. Everybody found a place, say amen. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. Y'all like that word gat? I like that. I gat me some supper when I come home this evening. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin. Let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him. And let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel. And they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair. Now, y'all understand why I said there wasn't nothing going on there. There's no hanky-panky, nothing out of the sort. And the Bible followed it up, put an exclamation on it whenever he said, and the damsel was very fair, cherished the king, and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Now, y'all know what that means. Okay, let's make sure, because I don't want nobody to get out of here and think that King David was sinning even into his old age. That's not what this is about. I asked Brother Greg, if you will, lead us to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to go ahead and I'm going to preach a little message about the signs of a dying church. Amen. As you're being seated, look over to your neighbor right now and say, God is good. God is good. All the time. God is good. God was good in the latter part of David's life. The same as he was good in the early part of David's life. Brother Chris was in our prayer room tonight talking about a 17-year-old David and how that he was the least of the least among the house of Jesse, and he was a keeper of the sheep, and how that basically the brothers, Eliab and the rest of them, didn't see much use for David. They didn't think very highly of him. They just didn't think that David would probably ever amount to anything. But I want you to know something. God is good. And God looked down through the house of Jesse and he saw David for what he was. He was just a sheep keeper. He was nothing more than a little shepherd boy. And that's what God said. I want that little shepherd boy to ascend to a place in Israel that will become the king of all. And then one day, Brother Derek, it's pretty amazing that Brother Chris took it upon himself to open up the prayer room tonight, and how that you said that God would sit upon that the throne of David. Now that amazes me sometimes. Brother Chris, have we talked about that today? Have we discussed that in the last week? Have we even really talked? Not much, if any. I know you had a little mini vacation, Kramer. We've not spoken anything. But I got to thinking about how God always lines these things up. And whenever I see David here in the latter part of his life, I wonder if David at that ripe old age of whatever he was, I've not done the math. Somebody probably could tell me here, maybe a Will or some of our Bible scholar could probably sit back and tell us how exactly old that David was. Because it'll tell you in the year this, sixth year of Darius the king of this or that. You might be able to go back and deduce exactly how old David was, but I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell me here in the scripture we're using. I do know this. In verse number one, he was old and he was stricken in years. But I wonder, in the old age of David, him being well stricken in years, if he might have looked back at his life and thought about some of the things that went on in his life and wondered to himself, here I am now in my elder state of life, and I look back on the things that went on in my family and the things that went on in the kingship and things that went on in the country, and I wonder how much of that stuff was wrought at my hand and done because of my own iniquity and because of my own sin. Do you realize the sins of a church can be many, or the sins of a church can be few? And God knows every single one of them, be they many or be they few. And sometimes we think of a dying church as being the one that doesn't have any cars in the parking lot. That's not a good tale, and that's not a good sign of whether or not that church is dying. I bless God, they might have a half a dozen cars in the parking lot, and them few people that's there be on fire for God, be in touch with God and hearing from heaven, and that's a sign of a thriving church. They could be having more people saved per capita, and they could be having more people saved per time that they meet, Brother Derek, than a big old church where there's 1,000 cars in the parking lot, but there ain't anything going on. You say, what's all this got to do with David? In the elder church age, or in the latter church age, David is latter in life, in the latter day church age, I believe that we can take you to the book of Laodicea, the book of Revelation, and show you that we are in the book of Revelation about Laodicean church age. We're living in a late day church, in other words. The church is now old and stricken in years. The church is like David was in this passage of scripture. And as I look at that tonight, I wonder if we look back through the church age, Brother Derek, and wonder, should we not have done more? Should we not have tried a little bit harder? Should the church not have gotten into that sin? should the church have stood a little firmer against that sin? But David, he could have looked back to the sin of Bathsheba, and then he could have looked at the murder of Adnan by Absalom. He could have looked at the rape of Tamar, his daughter, by Anne. He could have looked at all that, Brother Tam, and it would have been attributable to him as the king. It could have been attributable to him as a man. But here we are. You seem well stricken in age. And I just wanted to show you a few things. That as David begins to die, and he's in the beginning stages of dying, the Bible said that he could get no heat, or he got no heat, he got no warmth. Do you realize in the stages or process of dying, there are certain things that take place? And I Googled this out, much to your surprise. I'm not a doctor, and I'm not really knowledgeable in medical processes, but I'll tell you this, I've been around a few people during the last almost 20 years of ministry, and I've held the hands of a lot that had passed, and I've been at the bedside of a lot that had passed. And sometimes you'll see the nurse or the caregiver, the hospice caretaker, will come in, and brother, she'll pull up the sheets at the feet of that person. What's she doing? She's checking for circulation. You know what she's doing, brother? She's seeing if the feet are discolored, seeing if the feet are changing colors. And whether you know it or not, the body starts cooling down. The body starts to do all these things. What is it doing, Brother Tam? It's keeping the energy, is keeping the heat, is keeping the warmth for all of the major organs. And when it does that, the circulatory system is not pumping the blood down to the bottom of the feet. It's not sending the blood to the extremities. And that person sitting there about to freeze to death, they might be 98.6 when you take their temperature. They may be a warm as a snug as a bug in a rug. My wife's grandmother, when you went to see her, she'd swear up and down she was freezing to death. It'd be about 98 degrees in there, and she'd still be with about 16 layers of clothing, sitting there with about 5 quilts on her. Damn, she couldn't turn over because there wasn't, ain't no way for the weight that was on top of her. She couldn't, but she was still cold. And here it is. David is now, he's cold, and he's just starting to lose his energy. He's starting to lose that. And the scriptures tell us that here in verse number 1, the Bible said no matter what they did, they covered him in clothes, but the Bible said that it got no heat. And whenever I looked at that, there's 3 or 4 quick things that happen. They get a decreased appetite. They start sleeping more. They become less social or less vocal. Their vital signs begin to change, and then they have a defined drop in body temperature. And that's what I was just talking about. Now, we could preach right there for just a few minutes and start talking about the death of the local church. First and foremost, what I'm seeing here in David is this. David's just in a state of discomfort. He can't get comfort. He can't get rest. He can't get warm. And because he's discomforted in his problems here, the Bible said, and he's probably complaining a little bit. He's probably telling the folks around him that he's cold and he can't get warm, because in verse number 2, and I just surmised that he's telling them that he's cold. Hey, it doesn't say that David was whiny. It doesn't tell us that he was a complainer. But I tell you this, in verse number 2, the Bible said, his servant said unto him, let there be salt for my Lord, a young virgin. They said, we've covered you up with clothing, and we've got you, we've done everything for you to keep you warm, but there's really nothing that we can do. And in the signs of a dying church, I want you to think about the things that I just said, the decreased appetite. My goodness, folks, have you ever seen a day and age whenever the church has got a decreased appetite for the things that be of God? You think an old person getting in the latter stages of life, what do they do, Brother Tam? They start eating ice chips. They start eating the applesauce. They eat the smooth things. Is that not what the Bible says in the book of Isaiah? That in the latter day that the church will become the same way? I'll flip over there and read it for you in chapter number 30. In verse number 8, 9, and 10, it says, therefore, go and write it before them on a table noted in a book, that it may be for a time to come and forever, that this is a rebellious house, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, saying unto the seers, see not and prophesy unto us not right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. And that's what I'm saying about. Hey, have you ever seen a time whenever people's appetite for the things that be of God has changed? Brother Derek, we come in here and we are so filled up with the disgust and the junk of this world that we are not hungry for the very things of God that could feed our hungry soul and help us. But no, we're not hungry. We just come out of a sense of duty rather than devotion. David's discomforted here in his condition. He's cold. No doubt his appetite's changed. no doubt the Bible said that here he's in his bed and they're covering him up with clothes. They can't get him warm enough. And he's probably just sitting there thinking that this is how it's all going to end. This is the totality of my life. This is the conclusion of it all. He said, but I want to leave it better than I found it. And that's when you'll find out that he starts calling for Abiathar. That's when you'll start finding out he's going to give the word unto Bathsheba. He calls for her. If you'll read all of chapter number 1, I think he calls for Bathsheba about 3 or 4 different times. He'll bring Bathsheba in here. Who's Bathsheba? That is his wife. That is the wife of Uriah the Hittite, in whom he had a carnal affair with. He did commit adultery with her, but then God blessed them. He blessed their marriage and he blessed their union with that of Solomon. And Solomon is about ready to take the throne. For those that weren't here Sunday, I preached the whole message, didn't even cough, and I just hear this tonight, coughing. I don't understand it, but anyway, it's aggravating. But discomfort has set in. When people start getting uncomfortable, where do they get uncomfortable in the church? You know where it usually starts. You know where it usually starts, I'm going to tell you. It starts, they get uncomfortable with what's coming from the pulpit. They start getting uncomfortable with what the preacher's preaching, what the preacher's doing, what the preacher's not doing. If he was a pastor, he would have been over here. If he was a pastor, he would go over there. Wonder where that pastor's at. Well, I'll tell you, the junk that me and Cindy had last week, would you want me to take that in on a JD or a Waylane or an Okie or this one or that one? I don't think so. That's why when you come up here, Greg, and I'm up here doing this, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to keep you from getting whatever I have. I don't have it now. And so don't worry about that. But Brother Tim, you might do the same thing. You go by and you'll give somebody a fist bump. It's what you're saying, Brother Derek. I don't want what you've got, and I don't want you to have what I've got. But as it is, people start getting discomfortable, just a little bit uncomfortable. And they become discomforted by the fact that the preacher's preaching right to me. Somebody told him on me. Somebody told him everything I did. Newsflash, I was a 13-year-old boy lost and dying, going to hell, sitting about where Ginger or maybe Will's at on the right-hand side of Center Baptist Church on April the 16th of 1981. And guess what? Somebody told that preacher everything this little 13-year-old boy had ever done. God hung me out over hell. I would tell you by the hair of the head, but y'all would then have to picture me with hair. But that's how God got a hold of me, Brother Derek, hung me out over hell and showed me I was lost. Brother Archie, I'd have sat up and down. That preacher, somebody told him. Somebody told everything that ever I had done to this little old body that I was in at 13 years old. People get a little bit uncomfortable whenever the pastor starts telling them their sin. They start coming, they stop coming to church, they start complaining and murmuring. Next thing you know, they're not just discomforted with the pastor. They're not just a little bit uncomfortable around the king. Here they are. They're getting uncomfortable around the king. They're starting making plans. You'll see that in just a minute. Pay attention. The devil's watching. The devil's watching whenever you start getting discomforted by the things coming out of the pulpit or the things coming out of the pastor, because they were doing the same thing in David's time. David, even though he was the king, he was considered a man of God. He was the apple of God's eye. Then they start getting a little bit uncomfortable with the one sitting in the pew with them. You still backing up what he's going with? You still following him? You still supporting him? After he's been preaching like he has been, you're going to stick by that? After he did this, you're going to do that? After he changed the whole dynamic of the church? We've had a tradition that that's the way we did it for the last 30 years, and now all of a sudden we're not doing anymore, and you're going to go along with that? Amen. I ain't going to. Amen. I ain't going to listen to him anymore. The old senile thing. I ain't going to go that way anymore. I'm going to go my own way. You're setting a precedence then, not just for yourself, but for that of your wife, for that of your children, that you're going to change strokes right in the middle of the stream. God helps, right, Brother Archie? We're teaching our kids that whenever things don't go our way, just puff up, clam up, complain, gripe, murmur about it, quit, and then go somewhere else. That ain't God's plan. If that's God's plan, I wouldn't be here now. I'd have been gone a long time ago. You got to stick it out and stay through it. Sometimes it gets a little bit uncomfortable. I don't suggest that David was really comfortable here. The Bible said he got no heat. He wasn't really comforted in his old age. He knew one thing. God had brought him thus far and God would take him home. Satan's watching. You better keep watching because Satan's watching. Keep going with me. Look down and start about verse number 5. I want to show you something that was going on. Even as you see David a little bit discomforted in his old age and sickness, chapter number 1 and verse number 5 begins a whole new paradigm in the scripture because it shifts away from that of David unto that of what Satan is trying to do. And I believe in my heart Satan's trying it in every congregation. I believe Satan's trying it in every synagogue, every temple, every Baptist church, every Methodist church, every church that calls themselves a Christian church. I believe that Satan's trying this same thing. It starts out, and like I said, I'd like to preach the whole 53 verses, but I won't. The Bible says, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. Read it for yourself. I didn't make that up. God did. God put it in there saying, I will be king. Does it say that God prepared him chariots? That God prepared him horsemen? That God prepared him 50 men to run before him? Did it go on down through there in verse number 9? Did it say that God prepared a feast or that God slew the sheep? Did it say that God killed the oxen or the fatted calf? Did it say that God did any of that? No, it said that Adonijah did it. Adonijah, the one that said, I'm going to be the king. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Whenever people start saying, I, bless God, you get you a spiritual optometrist to check that guy out because he has already got an eye problem, and that eye is going to be the problem that takes him to a gallows that he might just swing. Like Mordecai and Haman had the gallows there that they had built in the book of Esther. You better watch out. You might end up on your own gallows. Adonijah said, I'm going to be the king. Word gets back to David. Adonijah has set himself up as king. Brother Derek set himself up as a pastor. You're up there working your heart out, trying your best to preach your heart out, but Derek's running around on the side over here. He got his own little band of followers. And next thing you know, Chris has got him a little band of followers. Now you got some following Derek, you got some following Chris, you got the pastor standing in the middle trying to do his thing, Derek's running his course, Chris is running his course, pastor trying to run interference through it all, and next thing you know, your church is in a big division. And then you got a derision between your division, and next thing you know what you got, Tim? Another church in a storefront building half a mile up the road. It's happening all over the place. Every empty storefront's got a church in it. Is God pleased with that? I suggest that he's not. So distress soon sets in. Why? Because everybody's doing everything in the flesh that they knew to do. The servants are doing all they know to do. We're trying our best to comfort the king. We got him in there, and we're piling clothes upon him, and we're piling clothes upon him, and we're piling clothes upon him, but the king's not warm. We brought in a little damsel out here. We put her in there, and she's a healthy person. She's giving him the heat off of her body. I'm trying my best to help him, and all the while, you got somebody sitting there saying, he's almost gone. He's almost gone. We'll keep this division going long enough and he'll soon die out. When he dies out or he quits or he goes to the wayside. Oh, I just can't wait to be king. That's what's going on. Adonijah's sitting back here in the shadows thinking, boy, if we just get him out of the picture, I'll be the king. The Bible says, verse number 6, his father had not displeased him in any time in the saying, why hast thou done so? He's a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. And with Abiathar the priest, they followed Adonijah and helped him. So it ain't just Adonijah. Like I told you, it started out with Adonijah. Now he's got a following. Now he's getting his people to get in here on it. You say, I thought this was about a dying church. It is. You watch. Just keep watching. Division sets in. Pride creeps up. Verse number 5 said that Adonijah, that he did what? Read it in the middle of that. Right afterward, that Haggith. What did he do? What does a man do when he exalts himself? Self-promotion is one thing that's killing the church. You've got pastors that are doing it from the pulpit, and they exalt themselves. They set themselves up as if they're some great thing. Let me tell you what. God is the one that sets up kings, and God's the one that removes kings. God's the one that sets up pastors, and it'll be God that brings pastors down. The Bible said, let every man that stands take heed lest he fall. If a man's standing, he ought to be watching after himself, because the Bible tells us that God has a way of humbling people, and if God has to do it, it's not as pleasant if you'll do what the Bible said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then at the last day, then He will lift you up. He's the only one that should be exalted. But Adonijah here, his pride has creeped up before him. Look at his grand proclamation he made. He said, I will be king. He's looking at the people saying, just follow me. And then he starts that preparation. He's getting chariots and horses, and he's killing sheep and killing oxen down to verse number 9. He's about ready to have himself a big old party and a big old feast, and he goes right on through. And then verse number 10, do you remember Nathan? Do you remember Nathan's original quest? Y'all remember when we first see Nathan coming on the scene? Nathan, we first see Nathan step on the scene after David had committed sin with Bathsheba. God uses the prophet by the name of Nathan to go help tell him the story of a man that had everything. A man that could have it all. A man that nothing would be withheld from him, and how that man could have had it all. But you had one man over here, a little archie that didn't really have anything, but he did have a pretty little ewe lamb. And that man that had it all said, I want his ewe lamb. That was the story that was presented by Nathan. And the Bible said that Nathan was that prophet. Verse number 10 now, but Nathan. You see that? Verse number 10, chapter 1, verse number 10, it says, but Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, the mighty men, and Solomon his brother, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggai, doeth reign? And David our Lord knoweth it not. It's not made its way back to the king just yet. How come it's always the last one to know is the pastor? When somebody's been undergirding and undermining and chewing away at the very foundation that the pastor was supposed to be propped up on. How come it always seems like the pastor's the last to know that? You think that there would be a deacon somewhere running interference for the pastor. How many times have I heard you say, bless God, we ought to do this, we ought to do that. And you always say it. Brother Clayton always says, amen. We ought to take care of the man of God. You've said that ever since you've been here. You always say, bless God, we need to take care of the man of God. And I believe that. You need to take care of your man of God. I just happen to be the one wearing the suit right now. I'm the fortunate one, or unfortunate, depending on whose point of view you're looking at. I'm the one wearing the suit, but they ought to be taking care of the man of God. That wasn't happening. David didn't even know what was going on. It's about to come back to him, though, because look. The Bible said that David didn't even know about it, the latter part of verse number 11. Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get near to the king David and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly that Solomon shall reign after me? He shall sit upon my throne? Then why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went into the king, into the chamber. And the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king and said, why wouldest thou? And she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance. And he called the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon, thy servant, hath he not called? Do you see the undergirding? Do you see the underworkings? Do you see what's going on? David's an old man. He can't get up and go check on what's going on in his kingship. He should have servants that's keeping him aware. And thank God they were, because we will see eventually, you know who does take the throne. But Adonijah does take the throne for just a little while. It wasn't a righteous judgment, but there for a little while. And all the while, Satan's watching. Satan's looking. You saw the discomfort. I just showed you the distress that's taking place now. And I want to show you a little bit. 5 through 10 is where we're at. And we're looking down through here. We're looking at the division that has now sowed because of one man by the name of Adonijah. Let me just skip down here a little bit. Verse number 21, otherwise it shall come to, let's get 20. And thou, O Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the King after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my Lord the King shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet, and when he was come in before the king, had bowed himself before the king to his face to the ground. And Nathan said, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon thy throne? For he has gone down this day. He has slain oxen and fat cattle. Here we go again down the same thing. It goes like that throughout the whole chapter of the book of 1 Kings chapter number 1. But then we go over to verse number 41. And Adonijah and all the guests were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is the noise of the city being in an uproar? I'm going to tell you what. You want to get a people in an uproar? You get half of them going against God and God's plan, God's will, God's kingship, God's what God's ordained, and get the other half going the other direction, following the precepts of Satan, and you know what you're going to have, brother? You're going to have a mess. Happens in any church, in any land, and that distress turns to division. The division then turns to a split, as I just earlier mentioned. I can't preach that whole 50. Go over to Revelation just a minute. If y'all knew my heart tonight, this is about a three sermon message I'm trying to cram into 30 minutes here. And I know I don't want to keep you too late, but just bear with me for just a minute. The seven churches which are in Asia Minor get seven distinct letters. Every one of them had qualities, be they good or be they bad. And I want to show you two of the churches that are mentioned in chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible said unto the angel of the church at Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. You say, what are you preaching on tonight? I'm preaching on the signs of dying. David is an old man. His digestion's messed up. He's cold. Everything about him's messed up. He's just elderly. And because of that, distress has entered the kingdom. He's discomforted in his body. Division has now crept into the kingdom. Adonijah's risen. He exalted himself. And the whole place is in a state of disarray. It'll get right again, but it's going to take an act of God. And you'll see it here in just a minute. But in the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1, when it said that I know thy works, that thou hast... That has a name, that thou livest and are dead. I want you to hear verse number 2, because it's not too late yet. Brother Derek, it wasn't too late for Adonijah to step down. It wasn't too late for Solomon to step up. It wasn't too late for the true word of God to come from the pursed lips of David unto the ear of Solomon, be it by the way of Bathsheba. But something had to be done to get Solomon to know that, Solomon, thou art the rightful king, and you are the one, you're the wisest man that's ever been birthed, and that wisdom will ascend you to the throne, because that's what God's plan is. Not your wisdom, but God's wisdom. I had a whole other subject about them piling them clothes on. I didn't even get there. I wanted to say something about no matter how many clothes of man's own righteousness you heap upon somebody, they ain't going to help him. You must be clothed in God's righteousness. That's what will warm the soul, because our clothes and our garments are filthy. But chapter number 3, verse number 2 said, and here it is, it's not too late. Be watchful. And I believe every deacon ought to be watchful. Brother Clayton, you ought to be watchful. Brother Kippy, you ought to be watchful. Brother Greg, you ought to be watchful. You other members and men of God with godly wisdom that comes with your age and spiritual maturity, you ought to be watchful. You ought to be watching for what's going on around here. You ought to be seeing what's going on. You ought to be in any church. A good friend of mine by the name of Brett Graham has just took the pastorate straight up the street here at Friendly Grove. I hope somebody's watching out after Pastor Brett. I love Pastor Brett, and it would hurt this pastor if somebody hurts that pastor, because I love that youngin'. And I've told him, I said, any day you don't have a ride back to Jonesville, North Carolina, whenever they get tired of you, drop you off on the steps of Calvary, and bless God, we'll get you home. I said, I don't care what Saturday it is. I don't care what Sunday it is, when it is. You get them to drop you off on our doorstep, and we'll feed you and then get you home. And I'll take you home myself, but they better be good to him. And I hope somebody up there's looking out after him. The same as I've got a Danny Byers looking out after me, I hope they got somebody looking out after him. And I hope Brother Troy up at that church at Harmony got somebody looking out after him. You don't need anybody trying to undermine him and undergird him. A lot of times these churches, and I'm not saying them too or any church in specific, but when they wring all the sweat out of a man they can get, they throw him out. And that's a heartbreaking, heart-rending thing for a man of God. He's thinking, where did I fail and what did I do? Whenever it wasn't him all along, it was the people. Stiff-necked, uncircumcised, the heart and ear. They don't deserve. Some people just don't deserve a pastor, but God gives them one, and then they mistreat him. Boy, y'all said, you're mean tonight, preacher. I like it. The Bible says it ain't too late. Chapter number 3, verse number 2 says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. They've not died yet, but they're ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast heard, received and heard. He said, you better hang on to it. He said, hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shall not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know at what hour I will come unto thee. Go over now to chapter number 3. And I want you to look at this other church over here in chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible said, unto the church of the Laodiceans, right? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. Now, David was just plumb cold. He couldn't get warm. The Bible said he got no heat. This church is neither hot nor cold. It's lukewarm. But before something gets cold, what stage does it go forth? It goes forth through the lukewarm stage. And you know what, Preston? The lukewarm stage makes God sick. He said, I would to God that you were hot. He said, I could work with hot. He said, I would to God, Brother Will, that you were cold. I could work with cold, but I can't do nothing with stale lukewarmness in a church, because you think you're something. You say that you have need of nothing, but bless God, you don't even know that you're blind and miserable and wretched and naked. And those are the things that upset God, because people get puffed up and prideful of themselves. That's exactly where Adonijah was at. Adonijah's right in the middle of all this, swelling, strutting, being who he thought that he should be or ought to be or who he rightfully was, but that wasn't what God wanted. Go back to 1 Kings. Don't even really know where to come back in. Chapter number 1, verse number 46. And Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. If you'll look back down through there, you're going to see that Solomon is now propped up. Adonijah is about to be set down. It said in verse number 47, and moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make his throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also, thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day. Mine eyes even seeth it. And all the guests were with Adonijah were afraid. And they rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon, and arose and went and caught the horns of the altar. Now it looks like Adonijah is just about ready to get his heart right with God. It said he grabbed hold of the horns of the altar, but Adonijah Adonijah feared Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with a sword. And Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not even a hair upon him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, guess what? He shall die. Bless God, that is the story of humanity. A man that rejects a thrice holy God, he shall die. And that second death is going to be far worse than the first death. If the man is born twice, he'll die but one time. He'll die under the sin, Brother Tam, and he'll go to a grave out here. But bless God, at the last day, the Bible said he is the resurrection, and the Lord will raise him up. Why? Because the body's going to join the soul, and the spirit to forever be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But that second death, he's going to be in an eternal state of dying. If wickedness be found in him, he shall die. So King Solomon, verse 53, sent. They brought him down from the altar. He came and bowed himself to King Solomon, and Solomon said unto him, go to thy house. Verse number 1 of chapter number 2. Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. He charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Boy, we could preach a message on that. We need some people that'll be man. Be manly. Go down to verse number 10. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. We could go down through the next 13 verses and you would see it from chapter number 2, 13, down through 25. It concludes with the life of Adonijah by saying that in verse number 25, King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell upon him that he died. Who's he speaking of? Verse number 23 said, the King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if that Adonijah hath not spoken this word against his own life. Don't you let somebody get to heaven or talk about you getting to heaven and say, the thrice holy God wouldn't cast somebody into a devil's hell. They send themselves there. God wouldn't send somebody to hell. They send themselves there by rejecting the only begotten of the Father. I can't preach this whole message tonight and get it out in the way that I believe that should be done. Maybe God will let me pick up and preach a little bit on that again. But all the while, Satan's watching. The division that come, the distress that come, the discomfort in David's body that come, all the problems that David faced here in his elderly life, God still honored David. God still honored the great work that was began under David's ministry. It'll be the throne of David that King Jesus comes back and sits upon in that holy city. That's the way the Bible reads. He won't sit upon the throne of Adonijah. He'll not sit upon the throne of Saul. It'll be upon the throne of David. And as I close this thing down tonight, look at the things that Adonijah exhibited. And I'm going to show you the things that Adonijah exhibited show the signs of a dying man. You said Adonijah was dying? I just read the verse. He's dead. Look how quick his death came. And look how the process of David's dying was. David lived a ripe old age. And his hand, the mantle of his hand was passed unto that of his son Solomon. But Adonijah died an untimely death in a short manner because he rose up against God and God's man. I've seen people come up and violate God's holy ordinances and end up in an early grave. I've known people in my own family that end up, and I believe they were saved. I don't believe they were lost, but I believe they ended up in an early grave. I believe what the Bible says. The Bible said he would destroy the flesh to save the soul, and some get saved so as by fire. I believe that God will do that. And Adonijah here, he's in an untimely grave because of the fact that he rose himself. He exalted himself into a position he should never have been exalted to. But it started with pride and that grand proclamation that I'm going to be the king. And he started preparing to reign and all by killing sheep and cattle and oxen and having a party and all the festivities that went along with it. All the while, Solomon just quietly sitting back. Ain't no doubt in my mind the wisdom of Solomon was way down inside of his heart. And then the hand of God come and touched him, and then he began to reign and sit upon the seat of his daddy. But anyway, that's what I've got tonight. The signs of a dying church are namely this. What I wrote down earlier, what I started out with. a decreased appetite, just don't really care anymore. Not hunger for that of God. That where they start sleeping more. You ever notice that when somebody's at a nursing home, all they do is sleep? Boy, ain't the church sleeping. Is the church not asleep? I believe she is. Said they become less vocal or less social. Man, how many people now started skipping out on the festivities and the social fellowship events and stuff? I don't skip them. If I can come, I like to eat too good to be skipping out on those. You said, what else happens? Their vital signs start to change. What's the vital sign? What's one of the number one vital signs? If I was going to take, you're going to take my vitals, what would you look for? What else? Ah, old pulse there, huh? Make sure that gizzard's still thumping, right? Boy, don't the heart of man, don't the heart of the church, don't she need to be fixed? Vital signs are starting to show signs of weakness. And then one of the latter things is that drop in the body temperature. You say, what's that about, church? What's that about, pastor? It's about the church getting a little bit cold. Y'all like being around an old cold church. Brian, you ever been in a cold church? You walk in, man, everything feels like somebody just killed a beef out in the back room. They're trying to cure the thing out in there by letting it hang for a while. Now, I'm not talking about the temperature. That's one thing we usually don't have in here is a problem with cold. Whew. I'm talking about everybody sitting there like a bunch of wooden Indians. Quiet, ain't no amens, no movement. Pastor's going to get up and the grand swelling voice going to read you a message, if you will, or a sermon. He's going to give you 5 or 6 or 10 points. Each one of them going to have 3 sub-points. Everything's going to rhyme. Everything's going to start with the same letter. Everything's going to have a rhyming method and methodology behind the grand alliteration. He's going to speak swelling words, and he's going to speak to you with enticing words of man's wisdom rather than what Paul said. I don't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I just want to come to you with the spirit of demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. He said, I want to come to you with power and with boldness. But that church press that's about to die is just what David, the shape David was in. As we stand all over the house tonight, Casey, if you just play something softly, we don't even need to, we couldn't keep up with you anyway.